A P-51 gets banged up in a Florida landing incident. The Air Medical Transport Conference wraps up today in St. Louis, and ground is broken for a new control tower in Cleveland. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, October 19th, 2011. The right main landing gear on a P-51 Mustang collapsed on landing at the St. Augustine Airport in Florida Saturday, damaging the airplane but not resulting in any injuries. Both the pilot, 68-year-old Daniel McHugh of St. Augustine, and his passenger, Lance Weston of Jacksonville Beach, walked away from the incident, which occurred just before 3 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday, according to WJXT Television. The plane veered off the runway after the gear collapsed, damaging the undercarriage and the right wing. Some fuel was said to have leaked from the wreckage as well. The incident is under investigation. The Air Medical Transport Conference wraps up today in St. Louis and, like most trade shows, it prompts product announcements, in this case, mostly to do with helicopter and other EMS and search and rescue operations. Night Flight Concepts is showcasing innovative night vision goggle solutions. One is the company's NVIO Night Vision Goggle Computer-Based Training, which leverages advanced simulation and synthetic environments to provide a flexible, self-paced e-learning option for night vision training and maintenance support. Also at AMTC, Night Flight Concepts is displaying what it calls the only lightweight, portable solution available today to deliver a means to effectively respond to the challenging requirement for maintaining the instructions for continued airworthiness for aircraft cockpits modified for NVG lighting. In contrast to many corners of the aviation services industry, Metro Aviation says it continues to book new aircraft completions and sign new operating customers for what it expects to be a record year for business. The projection comes on the heels of the first Air Medical EC-155 completions in North America for the University of Michigan Survival Flight. Metro has recently signed contracts to complete two new EC-145 helicopters in Air Medical configuration for Duke University, with the first aircraft scheduled to begin customization at the Metro facility in early November. Additionally, Metro will soon begin delivery of the first of three EC-145s being completed for Sanford Health in North Dakota. Metro Aviation has added four new Air Medical operating programs to its portfolio this year, with eight new EC-130s for MedFlight of Ohio, five EC-145s for Indiana University Health System Lifeline, and Children's Medical Center of New Orleans and Norfolk, Virginia-based Nightingale, both operating EC-145s. All these aircraft were completed by Metro Aviation. American Eurocopter says it's proud to announce that the Flight for Life transport system has won the 2011 Vision Zero Aviation Safety Award. As part of the award, American Eurocopter presented the program with a check for $10,000 to continue its efforts towards safety both within the organization and with its customers. During the AMTC Community Awards Banquet in St. Louis, Treg Manning, American Eurocopter's VP of Sales, presented the award and the check. Flight for Life was the first hospital-based EMS helicopter program in Wisconsin, completing its first patient transport in January of 1984. In 1996, it became the first air medical program in Wisconsin to gain CAMTS accreditation, and that's a standing it has held ever since. The FAA has awarded an STC to JetTech for the installation of new Garmin G600 glass panel dual EFIS systems in Cheyenne 3, 3A, and 400LS aircraft. The approved modification includes dual G600 RVSM primary instrumentation with RVSM-capable ADCs. Garmin GTN 650s and 750s in the center panel stack are available as an additional installation. JetTech founder Rob Irwin says the company will begin offering initial installations at its Denver facility, followed by kits available through JetTech-approved Garmin-authorized dealers. U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood and FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt broke ground Monday on a new $69 million air traffic control tower and TRACON facility at Cleveland Hopkins International Airport in Ohio. The new tower will replace one that has served the airport since 1988. Babbitt commented, quote, "Airports are economic engines for our country. These investments in airport infrastructure have both efficiency and safety benefits. The new location for the Cleveland Tower gives controllers a better view of airport operations and will ensure that they are prepared for the future of air traffic control," unquote. Facility construction is scheduled to be completed in 2014 and is expected to generate nearly 100 new construction jobs. In 2010, Cleveland Hopkins International Airport handled more than 194,000 aircraft arrivals and departures. Still ahead, Lockheed delivers an F-35 weapons load trainer to Eglin. The Recreational Aviation Foundation chooses an executive director. And should control towers carry corporate logos to raise revenue for airports? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, October 19th. I'm Paul Platt. Lockheed Martin has delivered and installed the first weapons load training device at the F-35 Integrated Pilot and Maintenance Training Center at Eglin Air Force Base's 33rd Fighter Wing. The system is configured in all three variants of the F-35 Lightning II and allows maintenance students to hone their skills loading munitions, fuel tanks, and missile systems onto the aircraft. The system is the first of up to five possible weapons load trainers to be delivered to the center. The weapons load training simulators enable training to take place without taking planes off the flight schedule. Following a nationwide search, the Board of Directors of the Recreational Aviation Foundation announces that Carl Hicks, age 58, of Gig Harbor, Washington, is the organization's first executive director. Hicks received his private pilot certificate in August 1975 and has remained current ever since, accumulating several thousand hours of flight experience. After retiring from a first career as a combat-decorated U.S. Army Airborne Ranger officer, Carl pursued a successful career in business, in diverse companies ranging from startups to nationwide, and helped build the Pulmonary Hypertension Association from a small, little-known patient organization into one that serves thousands of members around the world. Carl is a longtime member of AOPA, EAA, the International SESTA 180 and 185 Club, and an active volunteer in Young Eagles, with several hundred missions flown in his own Cessna 180A. He holds both undergraduate and graduate degrees in business from Ohio State University. Fly Leasing Limited, a global lessor of modern commercial jet aircraft, announced Monday it's completed the acquisition of a $1.4 billion portfolio of 49 aircraft, increasing Fly's fleet to a total of 109 aircraft on lease to 53 airlines in 29 countries. The purchase price was fully funded from Fly's existing unrestricted cash and the assumption of existing non-recourse debt. BBAM Aircraft Leasing and Management, Fly's manager and servicer, sourced the transaction and acted as financial, technical, and asset advisor. Colm Barrington, CEO of Fly, suggests we haven't heard the last of these announcements. Quote, "Now that we have closed this transaction, Fly will continue to explore options to prudently and strategically grow." Unquote. Landmark Aviation officially began operations on Saturday, October 8th at Tampa International Airport in Florida. The facility includes 44,500 square feet of hangar space and a passenger lobby, pilot lounge, executive conference room, snooze room, and flight planning center. Services include fueling, ground handling, concierge, hangar, and office rentals. Landmark Aviation's FBO at Tampa will also be in addition to the company's Landmark Cares facilities. These locations support charitable efforts in their local communities. For every gallon of fuel sold at the Tampa location, Landmark will make a donation to local nonprofit and charitable organizations. Landmark anticipates that the program could generate over $1 million in donations to the Tampa community over the duration of its lease. Strong Enterprises reports on the company website that company founder Ted Strong passed away on Friday. No cause of death was listed in the notice, but a comment posted to the company website by Strong Enterprises notes that, quote, "An incident has occurred during a military training exercise. We can make no further comments until the investigation is complete," unquote. Strong Enterprises was formed in 1960 in Quincy, Massachusetts, and moved to its present location in Orlando, Florida, in 1976. Strong has grown from a single sewing machine to 20,000 square feet. The company says Ted Strong started skydiving in 1958, entered the U.S. Army in 1959 with 100 jumps, and was stationed at West Point for 2 years working as a skydive coach. In 1961, he started Strong Enterprises in his parents' basement. He began by modifying round parachutes. And finally today, some call it corporate underwriting, some say it's branding, some just call it advertising. Whatever you call it, city planners in Medford, Oregon don't want it. They've nixed the idea of placing corporate logos on the control tower at Rogue Valley International Medford Airport. The tower rises 100 feet above the ground and is visible from both the airport and a road which fronts the airport. The Medford Mail Tribune reports that Airport Director Byrne Case sought permission to place a corporate logo on all four sides of the tower as a potential 10-year, $300,000 revenue stream for the airport. But the Planning Commission in Medford apparently shot the idea down without a dissenting vote. One commissioner said government buildings should not be repurposed as advertising media. There was also the question of competition with commercial billboard companies. Case reportedly is not giving up. He says he plans to pitch the idea to City Council, which could override the Planning Commission. He said the display would be, quote, tasteful. We're not talking neon signs or strobes, unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.